Psalm 7, the last.
All praise Yetzubanech, the underworld's nightmare, the black disk which stands before the sun. All praise Verhu, beaming with delight. All praise the fire that burns all, and the darkness shall swallow the darkness.
Hello, and welcome to episode 459 of the Cult of D and Dice. I'm Mordrigan, and I will be your GM for this evening for Mjork Bjork, Rot Black Sludge, Session 2. It is the most iron of iron games. It is the darkest of all dark things. It is Mjork Bjork, and everybody's going to die, maybe. We still haven't worked out whether we're supposed to play this purely straight or firmly tongue-in-cheek, but it's us, so it's firmly tongue-in-cheek all the way. We've got players. They're called Archive.
Well, one of them's called Archive, and Archive is playing Riston, an occult herbmaster.
And they're called Blooded.
I am Blooded, and I am playing Vaughn, who is wretched royalty and bears the horn of the Shellshriek Lords, and is accompanied by his loyal court jester, Poltroon.
Who's a prick. Yes. Hardwick?
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Jotnar, the heretical priest who has a magical mitre.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Loka.
I'm Loka Centaurus, and I'm playing Carver, who is a heretical priest who has a blasphemous Necurebel Bible.
Yep, which you've already read for today and didn't do bad things to you. Did good things. To everyone. Huzzah.
Yeah,
anyway.
We get good stuff and short rests.
Mm. Anyway, could somebody tell us what happened last time?
On me up. So we were all on death row.
Yep.
And then a mysterious crone. I think they were a crone.
Certainly a seer of some description.
Yes, a strange old seer came in and decided that we could potentially be useful in retrieving the king's heir who has gone missing. So we were allowed out with the promise that if we succeeded, we wouldn't get killed.
Which is always nice. Not getting killed.
Might get some money, maybe. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So we got stuck in a cart, and then we got dumped off the cart by this cave, which we went into, realized that someone had basically turned it into a house, sort of. And there was an old man just sitting there looking at a plate.
It didn't have anything on.
Yeah, it didn't have anything on. And he didn't respond when I tried to talk to him, at which point a guard came in, and there was a fight, and his testicles got eaten rather badly by Carver's dog. Because Carver has a dog.
Yep.
In fairness to the dog, he was trying his best, but there was armor in the way.
Well, yes, but he was doing a much better job than everyone else, especially Poltroon, who just kept hitting people with a pig's bladder on a stick, because that's what Poltroon does. And then there was another guard. So I killed one of them. And then the other one we interrogated for information. Can't actually remember what we got out of him, though. So someone else is going to have to fill that bit in.
For those of you at home, because I truncate all the silence, it's gone very quiet here.
I think there was something about a wizard.
A cannibal.
Yes,
a cannibal wizard.
Definitely yes, a cannibal wizard.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Then we killed the guard.
Yes.
And then now we're headed down the stairs, because we're pretty sure that's where the wizard is. At least the general direction of the cannibal wizard.
We did go into a room where there were people chained up and had slices taken off them for the cannibal bit.
Yeah.
You went into the cells. You didn't go through to the other side, but you did go in, went, well, this is awful, turned around and came back out again. As you do. You did hear melancholy violin music coming from north, which is why you've headed down the stairs. I will now begin. I warn you in advance, I'm very, very tired. You head down into a weird, dimly lit, very chilly and windy room. Hooked chains hang from the ceiling. There's bloody tracks on the floor that seem to go round and round and don't lead anywhere in particular. To the north, there is an iron door, but there is no handle. To the west, there is an archway into another room. Also in here, it is weirdly cold, and as you walk down the stairs, a faint glow hangs in the air. You as yet have not entered the room. You are still standing upon the stairs, but there is an ominous green glow in the air before you.
Ooh.
Well, is someone going to go in?
Jotna has a scroll she'd like to...
Mm-hmm. Which scroll is it?
It's a hermetic step, I think that says.
Very well. Bear with me. I need to check how you do it. Right. Roll me a d20 plus your presence. You need to beat 12 to activate the scroll correctly.
Presence, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I rolled a 15 and I have 0 presence.
Excellent. So you successfully cast Hermetic Step. We'll work out which one of these Hermetic Step is. Okay. At this time, you see nothing.
Okay. Do I need to roll for the length of time it lasts, or?
It was 20 minutes. Oh, 2d10. I roll for that.
Okay.
Currently, it is working, and it doesn't show you anything.
I'll turn to the others and say, can't see any traps.
But the glow.
Isn't that the point of traps, that they are not? Yes, but I have special seeing for traps. Interesting.
Oh, duck this noise. I step off the stairs.
Okay. The green glow in front of you coalesces into the shape of a floating woman. Her face is partially eaten away. There are chunks and holes throughout her body. She reaches out towards you with a ghostly... Go right ahead and make me a presence check.
Presence plus 2. That's roll a d20, isn't it? 22.
You are fine. She
that's a natural 20, if that's important.
In this case, no, but sort of. This spirit appears in front of you.
Please, you must stop them. You must stop them. They do such terrible things here. Awful things here. Terrible things here. They do so many bad things here. You must stop them before they unleash the beast.
Should be a little more specific.
There is a wizard. He devours. He is evil and needs to die. But he is not the worst. The sludge. The sludge is alive. Alive. The sludge is alive.
Is anybody else taking notes on this? Apparently there's sludge now.
The sludge. It is alive. There is a thing in it.
A beast in it.
A sludge beast. I'm making a note.
Huge.
Okay, are we talking like cow sized or building size?
It could devour a cow. It could crush a building.
Are we talking university, city,
hovel?
You speak stupidity.
I mean, yes, that's generally how this goes, but I'm trying to get a yardstick for this sort of shit. We're not exactly friendly to this guy, you know.
Huge.
Right, okay. Huge.
Fletcher controls it.
Fletcher?
A cannibal,
built like a bear, covered in tattoos. He rules here.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. A wizard called Fletcher.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's not exactly descriptive, is it?
Wizards don't have names like Fletcher. Wizards have names like Balatunda, or, you know, something wizardy.
Or Larsa, the Great Wazoo.
Bonk. Paltroon, no one asked for your opinion.
Your opinion?
Well, I'm sure as we are attempting to liberate him of his life, shall we say, you can provide feedback on his name choices.
You will face the worm.
I thought you said there was a wizard.
So there's a wizard, a worm, and some sludge.
And a beast. Don't forget the beast.
And the beast and the worm are one.
Oh, beast and...
The sludge and the beast are one.
Okay, so it's a sludge, worm, beast.
Sludge, worm, beast.
No. Fletcher's the wizard. For some reason.
Fletcher is the wizard.
The cannibal. Why do you keep doing that echo thing?
I am a ghost.
That doesn't mean
this will sound much better once Mordrigan has layered on all the effects. The effects.
Shit, sorry.
Do not look at the wizard behind the curtain. The curtain.
He's not a cannibal, is he?
No. But he's starting to wonder.
Okay.
Right.
So, fine, Fletcher. Find out how to get at the boy, possibly work out how to avoid the mournful violin music. Kill Fletcher, I suppose. How are they waking this thing up? Is there a ritual we need to disrupt or something? That's usually how it goes in the books.
The worm belongs to Fletcher.
Okay, so how is he waking it up?
I guess waking it is awake already. Red.
No, hang on. You said earlier we got to stop him waking the beast. And if the
unleashing,
beast and the...
Unleashing.
Oh, okay. How do we stop that bit, since you seem to know so much about it?
Fletcher.
Do we just have to off him, or what?
That'd be a good start.
Okay, I'm going to suggest that we leave actually securing the beast to, like, the weirdo who got us out of the cells. It, just killing Fletcher and getting the boy back seems to be best so far.
So I'm got confused. You mentioned a bear with a tattoo.
Fletcher.
Ah, okay. Fletcher is a bear with a tattoo.
He is built like a bear.
Okay. Excellent.
You get the impression that the ghost is not entirely certain whether she should have bothered warning you guys.
I mean, Carver is looking around at the rest of us and going, do we look like we could take on a bear?
No, none of you.
Well, we'll give it a go.
Although, I would advise Blooded to remember what Paltroon does, because that might help.
Yes.
I mean, I've got a bear trap.
The ghost is slowly fading.
Well, she was nice.
Seems a little single-minded, but not my thing, not my judgment if she's into bears. we should have asked where Fletcher was, shouldn't we? Yeah, that's annoying. Okay, so map reminder. There's door to the north.
Door to the north, no handle. Archway right. To the west.
We can't go through that door easily. What's through the archway to the west?
Okay, so you're heading over there.
We'll have a look first, but yeah.
You look in through the archway. There's a room illuminated with spectacular colours. There is stuffy, reeking air that stinks of sulphur or rotten eggs or something similar. There is black goo dripping from somewhere above, down into a hole to the right as you look in. In the middle of a huge pool of this sludge, there is a 50-foot-tall pillar Atop, two skeletons play the violin. The northern wall has collapsed into a large cavern 60 feet deep. There is black, mushy gunk with a sulphurous haze obscuring, but not quite, what seems to be some kind of forge or slaughterhouse beyond the fumes, and maybe a room with a statue on? There is the 50-foot pillar dead in the centre of the sludge. Atop, two skeletons play the violin, and it is from here the music is coming. To your left, there is a cave wall. Beautiful green-pink-violet gems are fixed all across the wall. Farther to the west, there is a small hole that seems to lead into a tunnel. That is all you see?
I mean, he needs to learn something about interior decoration. The gems are quite nice. Guess the violin music.
Gems.
Look, there's a wall of them.
How firmly attached to the wall are they?
You don't know. Do you want to try and rip some out?
Yes.
Okay, make me a strength check.
Ooh, strength. I'm sure I have a lot. Okay, no, I'm actually on like neutral on that. Five.
Five. They're better attached than that.
Darn it.
What's everybody doing?
Well, I'm not keen on the slime. I don't think the skeletons are going to be terribly interested in talking to us.
Probably.
Also, they're 50 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
You said one side had collapsed into a cavern.
So, as you're looking into the room, the wall to your left, so the south wall, is the one with the gems. Yeah. And the wall to your right, i.e. the north wall, has fallen into that big pool of sludge. And that's where the pillar is. And also, at a great distance, where you can see the other side of the way, it's like maybe a forge or slaughterhouse, and there's another room sort of back in that direction. Probably where that iron door goes to that may have a statue in it, you're not sure. You can't really see.
Okay. I mean, it looks like the only accessible, interesting stuff besides the gems, which seem to be firmly attached, is over there. And I'll point towards the bit with the forge slash slaughterhouse, which is an uncomfortable pairing of descriptions.
Uh-huh.
Probably appropriate for this place. What do people think?
Well, there's sludge in the way.
Yes, there is a pit that the bottom of which is filled with sludge.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the woman back there was on about a sludge worm beast huge thing. So, I'm not keen, to be honest.
No, don't blame you. Don't blame you. It looks a bit fleshy over there as well.
Are there any signs of life in here? Obviously.
In this room that you're in? No.
Yeah.
Nothing. Just the gems and the tunnel opposite.
And does there seem to be like a way of getting across from here to there?
How do you mean? From here to the forge or from here to the tunnel? Because to the tunnel, you just walk.
No, from here to the forge where the statue is.
Well, the forge and the forge is directly north. The statue is sort of northeast from where you are.
Okay.
But in both cases, no, there is not an obvious route.
Should we try the other door?
Well, yes, it doesn't have goo.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Less goo.
Okay, so you cross across and crawl your way into the tunnel. As you squeeze your way into the tunnel, there are voices that emanate from the ceiling, sing in a minor key. Are any of you wearing heavy armor? You're not. You're wearing chainmail, which is medium.
I'm wearing scale armor.
Yeah, I think that's medium.
I have leather armor.
It should tell you what rank it is.
Tier 2.
Oh, you may need to take that off then, because you can't fit through.
The full line is scale armor, minus D4 damage, tier 2, DR plus 2 on agility tests, including defense.
Yeah, you cannot get through this tunnel. Anyone wearing scale cannot get through this tunnel. Leather armor wearers are alright. Anything else large and awkward won't fit.
It's very tight.
So what are you doing? Are you going to take your armor off?
How long is the tunnel?
It's pretty long. You can't
you can't quite see the end as you look into it from here.
Yeah, I'll probably take it off.
Okay. What about you, Blooded? Because I know you're wearing the same stuff.
I'll have to take it off.
Okay. So you take off your armor and leave it behind, I assume, in the room.
I mean, that seems like the only option.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you push your way through the tunnel. It is difficult. At one point, you pass under what seems to be like a trapdoor above you. Looks like maybe something dumps out into this tunnel. And you push on, and it starts to get hot and stuffy, but not unpleasant, and sweet-smelling as you come into a greenhouse. There are oil lamps hanging from chains on the ceiling. The room is a glass-walled room filled with plants, palm trees, cacti, flowers grow rampantly all over the room. And behind the glass, dim moonlight is visible, which is interesting because you could have sworn it was daytime. There is a path leading further into the room, and in the distance you can sort of see, well, it looks like a campfire.
Kristen would like to look at some of the plants.
Okay. They're weird, to say the least. They are not the plants that you would expect to find in this region. In fact, some of them are plants you've never seen before. They're all like plants that definitely like the heat, shall we say.
I do not know what they do. Interesting.
No.
Could I try taking a few samples?
I mean, you can.
Riston would like to try taking a few samples.
That's fine. You cut a few little bits off and take a few petals here and there.
Excellent. Can see what we can make out of those.
Is anyone intending to follow the path towards the fire?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. You head towards the campfire, and there, sitting next to the campfire reading, is a woman. She's got long dark hair. She's dressed in a gunny sack, but she's cut armholes in the sack. She sat there reading, sort of like she's, you know, the pictures of 18th century poets, the paintings of 18th century poets, artfully reading their poetry against a backdrop. Well, she has arranged herself in that sort of way. One leg up so she can rest her elbow on the knee and rest her book on her hand and look artistic, which, given she's like 4'2" and dressed in basically a Hessian sack, kind of doesn't give the right idea. Around her, there's like three young people. You're not sure whether they're male or female. Their hair is a bit wild and unkempt. They're young, though. And they're just sort of sitting around watching her.
Ah, hello, welcome to my greenhouse. I am Lesdy, and these are my hosts.
She waves her hand at the three people, and they all look at you and go, yes, hosts, yes. Come closer. You have no doubt had a difficult time of it. Come here and you can rest a while, and if you wish, I can provide you with food and good company. Yes.
Carver is going to wander towards them and then theatrically look back as if to try and find where the portrait painter is supposed to be, and then sort of frame them with his fingers as like, is there someone painting? Should I be standing here? Do you want me to move off to the side?
Do you wish to paint us?
Well, no,
we would
just
welcome your artistic endeavors.
Unless you have art supplies, I don't.
Ah, the failure of all artistry, a lack of paint. Please, what? Sit. We can help you with your weariness. Are there others, or are you alone?
Well, I mean, one of our numbers seems to be very interested in the plants here.
You should ask them to come over here. I know all there is to know about these plants, for every one was planted with my own claws.
She holds up a perfectly normal-looking hand.
Right. I'll go check if they want to come say hi.
Yes, do.
I will trundle back to Archive's character and go, yeah, there's a lady over there who says she has claws but doesn't and would happily tell you about all of the plants.
I would hear of all the plants. Riston nods and then they wander off down the path.
What about the rest of you? Are you going to?
Well, I'm going to put my armour back on.
It's back in the other room.
Oh, God, I didn't bring it with me.
You can't. It's too big.
Right. I thought it was just too big if I was wearing it.
No.
Okay.
It's okay. Got pauldrons and shit that make it a case of leaving it behind, for the time being, at least.
Okay. Yeah, I'll follow everyone else.
You all approach Lesdy's campfire.
I am Lesdy. I am the owner of this place. These are my hosts. Yes, hosts. Host, yes.
So then, you are here to rest? Yes, I would ask you sit down and I will serve you some of our nourishing broth. It will help you with your resting. Waves you to some logs.
I still will do as that old.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of you?
Yeah, sit down.
Yeah.
She begins to putter about with some wooden bowls, wooden spoons, and she goes over to a relatively large cauldron that's just sort of sat on the side of the fire, and grabs it, pulls it off the fire, and starts ladling stuff into the bowls. Eventually, she's filled enough bowls for all of you and hands them out. And passes them around.
So I hear you are looking for the one who planted the plants here with their own claws. Well, that would be me, Lesdy. I, Lesdy, have done this thing. What would you like to know? Are you eating the stew, by the way, everybody?
What's in this?
It is meat and some of the plants here. You will find it is very refreshing.
What kind of meat?
Meat? Yes, I can understand your fear. No, it is merely rabbit. I promise you that it is only rabbit.
What does it smell like?
It smells like sort of stew that has been cooked for way too long.
But there is sort of the grassy scent of rabbit in there.
But it smells of stew.
It smells of stew, yeah.
It smells like food. Riston will take a sort of cautious taste in the way that you might expect from a herbmaster who has experience in making strange potions and tasting them.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, go right ahead and roll me a d6.
Okay. 3.
You regain 3 hit points if you are down that many.
Ooh.
Is anybody else?
I don't think I am. Good to know.
Oh, well.
I mean, upon seeing the one who has demonstrated the most adeptitude with, like, poisons and whatnot, eating it, it's like, yeah, okay. Probably not poisoned then. Just continue eating it from that point.
Okay. Roll a d6.
6.
You gain that many hit points if you are down any.
Does my dog get any?
And would you feed your dog some?
Almost certainly.
In which case, then roll a d6.
1.
So he gets 1 hit point back.
No, brain's gone.
Anybody else eaten the stew?
I won't.
Okay. Anybody else?
Jotna will have a slurp, but not really, like, try and avoid the meat.
All right. D6.
Oh, and are we officially resting when we're doing this?
Give me a sec. Can you roll a D6?
A 3.
You get that back? back that many hit points.
Oh, I wish I had that many hit points.
Yes, indeed. So, Leslie's like, and obviously the cacti I secured from the deserts around the southern wastes. They are amazing plants. They last for a very long time, even when there is no water. I see you have all partaken of the dew. Excellent. Now, my friends, now. All of you who have eaten the stew start seeing the walls begin to ripple in and out, and the floor is sort of coming up very quickly and then going down very slowly. And you are listening to Leslie's voice, and the sort of strange way she talks is starting to make more sense to you as time slows down and then speeds up and then slows down and then speeds up. For you, Blooded, you're sort of sitting there, and your friends start sort of wavering a little and giggling to themselves. Which is unfortunate, as they do that, the hosts all reach behind themselves and pull very long knives, and grinning to themselves as Leslie says, I think about now, they leap on the attack. At this point, we will go to initiative. All of you who have eaten the soup are rolling attacks and defenses at -2.
Yay!
Sorry, she done tricked ya.
However, Poltroon's presence means you get +2 to attack and defense on the first two rounds.
So it is probably for the best.
So it's only going to be third round where it actually kicks in. The
right.
Negatives.
Agility +D6, please, peoples.
0.
Well done.
2. 2. 4.
Okay, well, you get to go first then, Hardwick.
The world is wibbly, but there are people with knives in front of you, and they are coming closer, and it's generally considered a bad idea to let them stab you to death.
I shall get, or try and get, the mace off my belt.
Yep. You have your mace. It has 3 heads, 2 of them are your father.
He was a dick anyway, and I'll try and hit the closest one.
Fair enough. Make an attack.
Close enough.
-2 +2.
-2 +2.
Yes.
I rolled badly.
It's a strength check, remember. Strength DR12.
Yeah, I rolled a 4, and my strength is -1.
Yeah, you very, very definitely miss. You totally miss. Absolutely miss. So anyway, who was next? It was whoever has a higher agility of Loka and Archive.
Mine is +0.
Mine is +1.
So it will be you, Loka.
I'm a short sword and the nearest one.
Okay, then. -2 +2 plus your strength.
-2 +2 plus my strength, which is -2, so overall -2.
Yes.
16.
That will definitely hit.
Short sword, D4 damage. King Cold Drop dice. 3.
He's wounded.
Does my dog go on my turn?
It goes on your turn.
Okay. I will go by the same thing as we did last time of, if I'm attacking someone, he's going to join in.
Fair enough. Go on then.
2. So, no. Hello?
You miss. Okay.
Okay.
Next was Archive.
Okay. Riston will be grabbing their sword.
Uh-huh.
Little stabby sword. They completely failed to do anything with last time.
Yep.
And flailing it in the direction of one of these people, not the ones they're friends with.
Okay. Yes, I think I understand what you mean. +2 -2 plus your strength, get 12.
On a D20?
Yes.
Okay. So that is 17 -2, which is 15.
Okay, that hits, that hits. You flail wildly, but you do actually manage to hit them.
Gosh, first time Riston's hit anyone.
Roll some damage.
1.
I mean, you hit them, but Like, it wasn't exactly a palpable hit. You flail wildly in their general direction, and you get them like with the very point of your blade, and you just sort of scratch them up a bit. The host goes, it is then, I believe, the host's to go because blooded is on zero.
Yeah.
So, could the following people make defense checks? The first person to make a defense check is blooded.
Okay.
So it's plus two, minus two, plus your agility.
I didn't eat the stew.
Oh, no, in which case it's...
So I just get straight plus two.
Just a straight plus two, plus your agility, yes.
Okay. My agility is minus one, so it just ends up being a plus one to the dice.
Fair enough.
D20, yeah?
Yep.
14.
You dive backwards over the log as the host in front of you darts forward, trying to jab his blade into your shoulder. And then the one on the other side comes for you as well. Another defense roll, please, blooded.
Okay. 15.
This time you dodge even better out of the way. Oh my fucking god, they fucking hate you! As the third one ignores the man who is beating on him, ignores the dog that's trying to eat him, and instead goes for you because you're the only person who didn't eat the damn stew.
Okay, here we go. 16. I swear I'm rolling these. I'm not just adding one each time.
You successfully manage to avoid all three of them, and then it is your go.
Okay. I'm basically just going to hit whichever one of them's nearest to me, if that's possible.
All of them are nearest to you at the moment.
Okay, I'll swing for one of them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'll go for the first one that attacked me.
Fair enough. He's uninjured at the moment.
Okay, so that's... What's my... that's a disappointing 7.
That's a disappointing... You completely missed.
Yep.
You were so busy dodging, you don't have time to actually get your sword in hand in a proper manner to actually use it against the enemy. So, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of that particular round. Leslie's sort of sitting there going, yes, this is as I expected. At this point, Poltroon, incidentally, is capering around and going, "La, sir! I feel as if I am flying." At which point, we go back to the top, which was, I believe, Hardwick. No.
Yes, okay.
Yes, it was.
I will take a nice big kind of golf swing with my mace at one of the ones who's on blooded.
Fair enough. Well, they're all on blooded, so...
Well, yeah, okay. Well, the closest one.
Fair enough. Roll away.
Are we still on plus two or minus two?
Plus two, minus two at this moment in time, yes.
Okay. So that is a 12.
You literally just managed to hit.
Okay. D6, 7. And that is a mighty 4.
Now, would you have been attacking one of the ones that's already been injured, or would you be attacking one of the uninjured one, or would you be attacking the one that's slightly weak?
I would probably have gone for the same one I attacked before.
So the one who you badly wounded the first time?
No, I missed the first time.
It'd be the badly wounded. So, yeah, that was an uninjured one, so you stab him right up. He is still up, but he is not well at all. Which point I believe we're on, Loka?
I will continue the attempted stabination.
Uh-huh. The guy in front of you is badly wounded.
13.
That is just enough to hit, so you bring your using a sword?
Short sword.
Yeah. You bring your sword down on his arm.
For 1 point of damage.
And bounce it off the bone.
Doggo might have a better chance.
Doesn't have to do
Doggo much. Gets a 15.
Doggo hits. Roll some damage.
Also one. I am retiring that fucking D4.
The dog sort of bites his leg. The guy is still up, but he is He is looking decidedly worse for wear. He's very pale, and it looks like he's not going to be long for this world.
Excellent.
So I believe we're now on to Archive.
Yes, and Riston will continue their general swordy flailing.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, okay, 12.
You hit. You once again managed to land a blow.
For another one.
Hooray, another. Yeah, you scratch the guy again. He's like, ow! Right. At this point, some of the guys will attack. The guy you're fighting, Loka, will fight you back. Please make me a defense roll.
Is that a straight roll or a defense?
It's agility plus two minus two at the moment.
Okay. 19.
Yeah, you successfully get out of the way. The one that you have scratched twice will attack you, Archive.
That seems reasonable. That is a 9.
Okay.
No, wait, it's agility. It's an 11. I think that still fails.
Yeah, that still fails. He dives on you and, with much aplomb, stabs you viciously for a whole 4 points of damage.
Okay, I think I get minus D2 damage with my armor.
Yep, so roll a die. Odds it's 1.
It's a 2.
So you take 2 points of damage.
Yep.
Where does that leave?
On health.
Yeah.
Minus 1.
So I'm going to remind you what omens do.
I have literally no idea what omens do or anything. I've not read the rules.
No. I did tell you last time, but I'm going to remind you. Deal maximum damage with one attack, or reroll a die roll, yours or somebody else's, or lower damage dealt to you by d6, or neutralize a crit or fumble, or lower one's test DR by 4. So I think you might want the lower damage dealt to you by d6, or reroll your defense.
How does hit points work in this game?
Well, currently you're going to be dead.
Okay, right. So things we're fighting have a lot more hit points than we do.
Yes, because you guys rolled stunningly badly for hit points, it turns out.
Okay, I just assumed that we could go negative in hit points, like, you know, we're negative in everything else.
Well, basically, what happens is when you reach 0, we roll on I've been telling you wrong. When you hit 0 hit points, you are broken. When you become broken, you roll a d4 and find out what happens. If you go to negative hit points, you are dead. Dead, 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 dead. So currently, you are dead, 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 dead.
Okay.
But if you can omen at least a 1 on a d6, you will only be broken, not dead. Incidentally, one of the options for broken is dead.
Okay. So I should roll a d6 at this point.
Yes, you should.
Okay.
And cross off one of your omens. Well, in that case, you negate pretty much all the damage that is dealt to you, so that's nice.
Wrong,
you are not dead.
I have
dead.
One omen.
Right, so that was two of the enemy already attacking, wasn't it? Then there's a straight roll between the guy whose orders are kill the guy who didn't eat the soup or the person who's stabbing him. He decides the better part of valor and tries to stab the person who is stabbing him. Hardwick, make a defense, please.
Okay. My defense... is that's agility, right?
Yes, agility plus 2 minus 2 currently.
That is 16.
Okay, yeah, you dodge clean out of the way, and then we come to you, blooded.
Right, I will go for the same one I tried to get last time. Okay, and that's a 19.
Oh, that definitely hits. I'm just gonna check to see if that's crit. Don't think it is. I think 20 would be a crit. Yes, 20 would be a crit.
Okay, it's just a straight d6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1.
Well, you'll be glad to hear. Oh, no, wait. You're fighting the one that Hardwick's also fighting, aren't you?
Yeah, the same one I went for last time but missed.
In which case, he's still okay. He's still fighting. He looks a bit wounded, but he is nowhere near dead yet. We are, however, now back to the top with Hardwick. Leslie continues watching as her hosts flail menacingly in your general direction and get stabbed. Interesting. This is very interesting. Yes. So what are you doing, Hardwick?
If I attempted to put the mitre on, is that my whole action?
No, I'd just say you could whack it on. I'd assumed you'd been wearing it the whole time.
Righto. In which case, I will take another swing.
Fair enough. You swing away at the one that's fighting you and Blooded.
And that is a...
Now, is this first or is this the last round you get Poltroon's benefit?
Was it two
rounds? It's
the first two rounds.
So this is the third round.
Yeah, so you're at minus two at this point.
So I get a 17 with minus two.
Bloody hell. Well, that'll do it. Go right ahead and roll you some damage then.
That would be another 4 points of damage.
Okay. You're using a mace, aren't you? You bring the mace around in a whirling circle above your head as you drag the mitre down. As you become slightly incorporeal, slightly unseen, you smash the mace right into the side of his neck. Blooded, you see his neck suddenly become U-shaped and a vertebrae sort of erupts through the skin on the left-hand side of his neck. He gives a... and collapses with a thud. You hear Leslie behind you go, ah, okay. So, I believe we're on Loka.
Is the one that I've been hitting so far still around?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Given the wibbles, I'm going to keep trying.
Fair enough.
Fuck no. And dog? 14.
The dog, meanwhile, grabs him around the ankle and pulls him to the floor. It then leaps at his throat and tears his throat out and then reaches back into the wound and tears out his vertebrae and starts chewing on it. He goes...
Good boy.
There is one left. Archive, it's up to you.
Flail.
A flail.
Flail.
Come on, then.
Oh, the dice are my friends today.
Okay.
I rolled a 17, which puts it on 13.
You hit.
Now, I got a 3.
Hooray. You stab him right up. One. He is, however, still alive. He's wounded, definitely wounded. But he responds by trying to kill you.
This seems reasonable.
You stab him sharply in sort of like the meat of his chest, and he responds by grabbing the back of your head and trying to drive his knife through your eye.
12
is enough. You just managed to sort of twist your head out of the way and his knife goes wide. By the way, it's now your go, Loke. Your go, Blooded.
Okay, so there's only one still standing at this point, so...
There is indeed.
I'll go for him.
Uh-huh.
No bonus now, so that's fine. Straight roll. 13.
13 is just enough to hit him. You don't need to do very much damage.
And I get 4.
Well, that's more than enough. You pop up behind him. And he's holding onto your head, Racine, and he's trying to drive his knife into you. And suddenly, you're looking directly at him as he's trying to drive his knife into your head. And suddenly, he gets a metal tongue. A huge metal tongue sticks out of his mouth in your direction. It narrowly misses stabbing you in the face. And then suddenly, it disappears, and he just vomits blood into your face and keels over.
Ah.
There are no more enemies left. Leslie seems to have made her escape in the confusion.
Oh, that was a bit shit.
You're still high as fuck, by the way. And you will continue to be high as fuck for the next hour.
Can I suggest that we sit down and let this wear off?
This is good stew.
I mean, sure, but we're in a place that keeps trying to kill us. Let's not be wibbly whilst that's happening.
Oh, it could be fun.
Sure, but deadly.
Is anyone got anything to smoke while we're at it? No?
No. There's probably more stew.
But there's loads really more stew if you want the stew.
I won't. I will also say that if we are going to stick around for 5 minutes, we get to heal 1d4 HP.
Mm-hmm.
So Carver is plumping down. It's just like, I need a bit.
Yeah, you'll definitely get the 1d4.
I get 3 back.
Yay.
Hooray. Oh, no, wait, I'm on full. My dog gets 3 back.
Yay.
He's now back on 8 as well.
8.
Yes, the dog and he is the hardest characters you have.
Yep.
I need to just hide during combat, right?
Yeah. You are, I believe, on 1, are you not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was normal. Okay.
I mean, it is normal for Mjolbjörg, but it is not normal for a human.
Okay.
Player characters with 1 hit point are a thing in this game.
There's an interesting dichotomy here, because although I have hit points, my strength is -2.
Yeah.
Oh, minus as well.
So I can't hit for shit, but I can soak damage.
Yeah.
And until that tunnel, I had armor as well.
Yeah.
So, anyway, other people, if you are missing hit points, roll a d4.
Yeah, basically, you're all getting d4 back.
I am not missing any hit points currently, thank goodness.
Me neither. But I will take a swig of water skin. Well, whatever's in my water skin.
Uh-huh. Swig up your water skin. Hooray!
Ooh.
So, there doesn't seem to be any way out of this room other than the way you came in.
We had to go back for the armor anyway.
True. So you crawl back through the tunnel then and put your armor back on, I'm guessing?
Yep.
It takes a little while. Oh, and all the while you're standing there next to this sulphurous pit of goo.
Well, that was a bust. Where next?
Well, in terms of doors you haven't tried, there was the other door in the cells room. There is the other door in the dining room. Yeah, there was the north door in the dining room and the west door in the cells.
You said there were voices as we were walking through the tunnel before.
Yeah.
Were they coming right through that grate?
They seemed like they were coming through the trapdoor.
Yeah, the trapdoor.
Yeah, you reckon so.
Would there be any way of like maneuvering the trapdoor open?
Good question. Let me have a quick look. Okay. You go back to, you crawl back to where the pit trap opens up. What you seem to be a pit trap opens up. In fact, to your weird eyes, it is indeed a pit trap because it's highlighted by your weird eyes.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can sort of, you're like, okay, there's a mechanism that's obviously designed to trigger when something above is done. You don't know exactly what that is, what the trigger would be, but you do know that it's supposed to trigger it, and you can see the thing that it triggers. So, in theory, you could just trigger it, and hopefully the pit trap will open. The only problem is you'd be going up there without the armor, because it's in the tight bit.
I will, before I decide if I'm going to trigger, I'm going to crawl back to where presumably they're putting bits of armor and whatnot on.
Yep. Yeah, it's back in the gem room.
We could always try that trapdoor grate thing halfway down the tunnel. Probably should have mentioned it before because you're kind of half armored now, but.
Do we know where it goes?
Well, it goes up. Isn't that the way we want to be going?
Carver is going to try and spatially reason about the way they've come and would try and work out if it's anywhere that they've already been.
You didn't fall into a pit trap anywhere where you've been, so probably not.
Could it be behind the iron door?
No. Wrong side for that. It's more likely to be north of the dining room, you think?
I mean, there might be an easier way to get there, because you've armoured up now, but it could cut off a corner, I don't know. No, okay, fair enough.
Okay. So you pop your armor back on. So I take it you're going back through the room where you saw the ghost, back up the stairs into the guard room where you kill the guards, and then you're going to either go through the cells or go all the way back round to the dining room. Which of those two things are you doing?
My brain is failing fast.
Welcome to my world. I am very tired.
So we're not doing the pet trap thing. We're going the other way. Okay. And there was dining room door and...
Dining room door and opposite door of the cell.
Which one is closer?
Opposite door of the cell, but you'd have to go through the cells past the nutcases.
Oh, dining room first.
Fair enough. Right, so you backtrack through the guard room where there is shit all over the floor and now two corpses to add to rubbish. And then you go back through the library and then you enter the very first room you went into with the stream, go back into the dining room, and then go to the north door of the dining room and just push it open. Ahead of you, there is a cold, dark corridor. There are paintings on the walls, bland landscapes, all dark and dreary. They seem to show dark scapes, woodlands or moorland something. But in each, you can see in the background a figure coming closer. North of you, you can see a light at the end of the tunnel. You can hear scratching noises from a door to the east, which you take actually to be the door to the cells. As you step into this room, just as your spell is fading, Hardwick, you see the outline of a pit trap in the middle of the room.
Okay, I shall point it out.
You point to like a general area on the floor.
Carver's going to skid around the edges then.
Okay.
What else is in this room?
Paintings. Paintings on the wall and something ahead of you, which is lit.
That we have, or at least we think we've avoided. The pit trap, right?
Yeah, you're pretty sure that's the pit trap.
Okay. Scoot. They have very poor taste in paintings.
Yes.
It's like one of those illustrated horror novels.
You're having this conversation,
but more expensive.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. As you're having this conversation, heading down the corridor towards the lit section, you hear... and ahead of you, you see an enormous black dog just sort of ambling slowly down the corridor towards. It's got shaggy, oily fur, teeth that are rotting in its head. It is hugely built, far larger than your dog. And at this point, we will be going to initiative again. But this time, as there is only one enemy, we will do but one thing. Somebody roll a d6. I don't care who of you it is.
I have rolled a 2.
You rolled a 2. Our survey says 2 means the enemy goes first. The dog launches itself down the corridor towards you, attacking Hardwick. Oh no, because there's Poltroon and the dog as well. Hang on. I keep rolling 6. Attacking Hardwick. The dog bounds towards you, Hardwick. Its teeth, it's outstretched. Remember, you're still wearing your mitre. But could you please roll me a defence check?
So do I add... Is that just my defence that the mitre has, or do I add that on, or what?
So basically, your defence test is DR8. DR10, isn't it? Because of the mitre. Did you all hang about for an hour to get... to get rid of the effects of the stew?
If so, you would have pushed for it.
If so, you wouldn't have seen where the pit trap was when you came through here.
Right, okay.
But it didn't really make any difference because it didn't trigger anyway. So yeah, if you're not under the effects of the stew, then it's you roll a d20, you add your agility, you try to get 10 or above.
Right, okay. I roll a 10.
Which is enough. The dog's shattered, rotten teeth snap to just in front of your face. You do not get wounded. So, at this point, you guys can go in agility order. I believe that puts somebody first.
My agility is plus one.
Mine is minus one.
Plus two.
Probably you then, Hardwick.
Okay, sure. I shall take a swing with my mace then.
Fair enough. The giant wolf-like oil dog is in front of you. And you flail at it with your mace. Make a roll.
Remember, you get plus two.
Plus two because of poltroon. Last!
Thank you. I get a 21.
Did you roll a 20?
No, I rolled a 19.
Well, in that case, roll me some normal damage.
A five.
Five? Fuck me. The dog is unimpressed and turns tail and runs.
Well, that was easy.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue.
You push forward and come into a weird-looking room. There is a smell of sulfur and you can hear violin music from somewhere nearby. There are three oil lamps hanging from the ceiling. They sputter and glow as if they are burning fuel not really meant for it. There is a rusty pump in the middle of the floor, shaped somewhat like a castle with a demon's face sticking out of the side over a cistern filled with muddy liquid. Over to the right-hand side, there is a hatch in the floor. To the east, there is a hole in the wall, and you see a view of the pit full of sludge you saw earlier and the pillar with the skeleton playing the violin. What are you all doing?
Watching the skeleton.
Okay.
I'll probably be having a look at the pump thing.
Okay.
You pump it a couple of times and more of that sort of rusty, muddy liquid droops down into the...
Does it look like water or is it sludge?
Seems like it might be water.
Needs cleaning. It needs cleaning.
Yes.
Or maybe the water source needs cleaning. I don't know. I'm not drinking this shit. So, view over pit. The way we came in, table? There's a hatch in the floor. But no furniture?
No, just this pump and the three oil lamps.
Are they lit or unlit? Are they all lit or...
Yeah, they're all lit. They're just not very... They're not very good. They've got fuel in there, but it seems like the fuel's not really meant to go into oil lamps. They're just sort of sputtering and generally jittering.
Where did the dog go?
You don't know.
Well, I guess the only visible way out is hatch, but... Well,
how does a dog open a hatch?
I don't know that the dog has. You don't know where the dog's gone.
Are there any windows in this room?
Does the window to the sludge...
Are there any curtains?
No.
There's no furniture to hide behind.
Apart from the pub.
I check behind the pub.
I guess the trap door then?
It seems like the only viable way out, doesn't it?
Head over to the trap door and pull it up. Below you, you see what you believe to be the forge / slaughterhouse. Sooty and hot, a sulphurous haze rises from the sludge nearby. It is lit by two huge hearths, used both as smelters and for ovens for preparing food. Chunks of meat hang from ceiling hooks, mostly human, adults and children. To the south, the vast expanse of sulphurous black sludge. All the way to the other wall. To the east, a wooden door. To the west, a stepladder that you are now looking down. However, that's where we're going to end for tonight, because you're about to meet Fletcher, and I don't want to do that bit just yet. So thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. If you have, then please do feel free to leave us your iTunes reviews, your Podchase reviews, your Podbean reviews. You can talk to us at thecultsofteeanddice.net or thecultsofteeanddice@gmail.com. You can talk to us on the Twitters at cultsofteeanddice. You can talk to me at Mordrigan. You can talk to her at T Gremlin. Thank you for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.